Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're finally here out at JP Roofing and Siding, Route 30 in North Versailles. You should stop in. It's kicking off the WIN campaign for women and children in need. You can donate here, make a donation, get a couple pieces of pizza from Bishop's Pizza. I just had a couple of those myself, and they were absolutely delicious. And here's the man himself and his mustache. You hear me make these reads every single day, talking about my friend Joe Potocnik, and he's sitting right next to me. JP, how are you?
Good, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing well. Honored to be here today. Honored to be part of this campaign that we have running at the Fan. We really appreciate you having us out here.
Joe, it's an honor to kick this program off with women and children in domestic violence. Like you said, we have food here. We have drinks here. If anybody wants to stop by and see us here and donate to their cause, it'll be well appreciated.
Can also do that at WCSPittsburgh.org. So let's get to it, Joe. I talk about your mustache every day. I've seen it on the golf course. People, as soon as they see you, and I know you're on TV as well, and you're on at least one billboard, right?
Correct.
When they see you, they immediately are just drawn to the mustache, aren't they?
Yes, first thing that they say is, the mustache, there he is.
And does the mustache greet them?
Oh, yeah. It gives them a wiggle.
Like something out of Toy Story? It just comes to life all of a sudden?
Starts talking.
How about the billboard? Do people around town talk about that?
I hear it all the time, Joe.
What do they say?
It's flattering to hear that from people that they saw me on a billboard or they hear you talking about my mustache. And if I didn't have my mustache, I wouldn't be in business.
I often say during some of those reads that it was 43 years ago that a man and a mustache sat down to build a business together. In all honesty, that takes guts. Why roofing and siding? Why did you do that? Did you have a history, your family in this, or what?
Never, Joe, never. I never worked for a roofing company. I never worked for a siding company. I started the business myself. I got my feet wet. And, you know, I had a passion. I still have a passion for this business. And the customer service is huge in this business. And the customer, when you leave the job, or my men would leave, and the good practice that they're in, a happy customer makes me happy. And that is very important in customer service. Today, customer service is hard to come by. We work very hard at that to do the job, to do all the work necessary to complete the job, to get the proper warranty. We register every warranty with every job, and that's very big in our, you know, in our company with our a good culture we have here.
Yeah.
The family we have working here.
A team culture.
It's a team effort. It's like one big family. And everybody, the culture, you have to have good culture in a business and good core values to succeed. And marketing leadership and customer service plays a key role of building a business, not just the sales. It's customer service is the main thing.
You're also a giant Pittsburgh sports fan. Every once in a while, I'll check my phone, and there you are, like Waldo, popping up at a Penguin game right behind Mike Sullivan. At a Steeler game from the sidelines. You are a giant Pittsburgh sports fan, yes?
Yes, I am, Joe. I am dedicated, win or lose. I stick with my Steelers. I stick with my Pens. And I'll stick with the Pirates also. I'm a huge sports fan in this city. My dad played for the Phillies years back. He was the
You told Scott, me that,
Scott
yeah.
High School. Johnny Reed was his scout and coach back then in the 40s. He played with Greg Rogel. I diddle Rogel up the middle. And I end up playing with his son in Little League and Pony League and Colt League. And I have a passion for baseball, football, and hockey. And, you know, when you see some of these players out there that are Pittsburgh built, you know, they're good ball players. A lot of good ball players come from the city of Pittsburgh and the surrounding area.
If you could pick one team around here, college, pro, anywhere, to win the next championship, who would you want that to be?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And it could happen this year.
It could happen this year. And Watt winning the Defensive Player of the Year.
Yes.
Yeah. He got robbed last year.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree 100%. In fact, we're going to get into that in about 2 minutes here. Joe, this is unbelievable. We have Kane's Chicken. We have Bishop's Pizza, the guy across the street. He's a legend, huh?
Yeah, he is. Gary's been around a long time. He has two pizza parlors, and the one here in North Versailles, he's been here since 1995. He's up there early every morning making the dough, the fresh pizza, fresh sauce. You can't get enough of it. It's always good. Never get tired of it, Joe.
Oh, man, was it good. Plus, are you buddies with Billy Knight or an acquaintance with Billy Knight, the former great pit great? Yeah. You got him on the line with us last year.
Yes, I did, yes.
I told him about when he came to the YMCA in Buffalo, right across the street from my house when he played for the Buffalo Braves. I remembered it. Surprisingly, he didn't remember it. Of course he didn't. It was just one little stop at a YMCA, but it was huge to me. He was a great player.
I think you were the little Joe Starkey back then.
I was, the savvy young news hound back then. So thank you for making that acquaintance, and thank you, Joe, for having us out here. T-Bird. So far has had 3 pieces of pizza, 2 donuts, and a Cane sandwich.
And he's not done yet.
This guy's in fuego. T-Bird, you're having the time of your life, aren't you?
Warming up for next year's competition. You know me.
He's the hot dog eating champion.
Oh, nice.
T-Bird, did you know that?
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Has that led to a lot of fame around the station, T-Bird?
No.
No?
No.
How about in the community? Neither?
No fame. I'm a behind-the-scenes type of guy.
Grow a mustache, Joe.
Maybe. It keeps it pretty quiet.
Thank you, buddy, for having us out here.
Appreciate it, Joe. It's
and
been
I
an
see
honor.
That your lovely family, your wife Kim, is here. I can't wait to meet your
grandkids
over here.
Here.
Here comes a very menacing man in a penguin sweatshirt. Who's he?
Yeah, it's Sean Shires.
I'm already afraid of him. I haven't even met him. What's happening with him?
He seems angry. Shires Auto Body.
Okay.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Sean, how are you, my friend? He has a very hard two-handed handshake. Ow! This guy's unbelievable. All right, Joe. Thank you, sir.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah,
appreciate
I'll
it.
Say hello to the family
Thanks
in a moment.
Everything.
Thank you.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is great. All right, Limits. How about that? The story of the mustache and the fact that T-Bird hasn't grown one. You don't get that every day, do you?
Oh, the original origin story. You love it.
Let's hear from TJ and Myles Garrett, however you want to set this up from yesterday. I don't know, man. Myles Garrett bugs me. I don't like how that whole thing went down, of course, with Rudolph with the helmet swinging, but the accusation afterward, after Myles Garrett had apologized already to Rudolph, suddenly he had a story about how he had called him a racial slur. Now, the side I came down on there was Mike Tomlin. Because I don't think that Mike Tomlin would have put team and player ahead of something like that. And he vehemently denied that anything like that had taken place. He basically said Myles Garrett lied, is what Tomlin did. And I'm on Tomlin's side 1,000% there because of the circumstances. Because of the circumstances. Why would you apologize to somebody publicly in a statement? If that had occurred, I just didn't like how that went down. And now with this stuff, it's just, you know, let it go. Let it go. I'd feel lucky if I won defensive player of the year if I was Myles Garrett, because TJ, frankly, by every conventional measure, deserved it last year. Having said that, this is pretty good stuff leading into the game, I think, and it might, I don't know that TJ needs extra motivation, but I think there's a reason people like Michael Jordan were always looking for it. Who doesn't need a little extra motivation, right?
Yeah, I mean, it seems just so petty, Joe, from Myles Garrett. Like, just move on. Just get over it. Like, is he just tone deaf to know that so much of the PFF numbers and the lack of sacks that he had, especially what did he have, like, one in the final seven games of the year? Like, can he just not see that? Like, or did no one explain that to him? Is it different in Cleveland where, I mean, he was praised. Oh, Myles, fantastic job. Even though that guy's stats were better, your pass rush win rate was so good, we had to give it to you. Here is what Garrett had to say, not really liking TJ Watt.
I've never complained about the trophy not being in my house and vice versa. You know, shouldn't be feeling two ways about, you know, it going to me. So Jokic's going to play the game. I don't play against TJ, he doesn't play against me, but we'll have a plan to, you know, go out and do what we're supposed to, win the game, and dominate on defense. But it's up for grabs this year, and we'll see the best man win.
What do you make of that?
Well, it's up for grabs this year. We'll see if the best man wins. Well, Myles Garrett should maybe think about winning a couple football games for his own team before thinking about who's going to win Defensive Player of the Year, because he's not going to win it on a four-win team in Cleveland, which is what they're destined to be at this point. And his numbers have been so pedestrian compared to Watt, pedestrian compared to the rest of the league. He's not in the conversation right now for me to win Defensive Player of the Year.
And then TJ's response.
Here it is.
For everybody in the league, obviously a guy who's been a top pass rusher in the league for a long time, but I don't compete directly against him. It's our team versus their team, and at the end of the day, I just want the Pittsburgh Steelers to come out with a win.
Yeah, I think that TJ Watt should be still ticked off that he didn't win last year. You only get so many chances to do this, and it felt like a career achievement award for Myles, that it was just like, all right, it's his turn to win the award, let's just give it to him, even though the other guy has better numbers across the board. And suddenly you had like old-time sports writers who had never paid attention to analytics, using analytics as rationale for voting for Myles Garrett. The whole thing bothered me and bothers me. Still, there have only been a couple, you know, three or four, maybe multiple winners of Defensive Player of the Year. And this guy should have been one. Maybe there's been a few more than that, but he should be looking at his third. And if I'm not mistaken, that's really rarefied territory occupied, I think, by J.J. Watt, Lawrence Taylor, people like that. So it's a shame, because I think he has a really great case to have won three of these, and he absolutely should have won two of them.
By far. I mean, he once led the league in sacks with tying Strahan's all-time record, and he missed a game, so you can't give him the qualifier that he had the extra game to do it. And this year, I know that the sack numbers aren't entirely there because he's chipped and double-teamed on just about every single play, but he's still been a dominant force in almost every respect. Trey Hendrickson might lead the NFL in sacks, but I mean, I don't think it's the same conversation of Garrett over Watt right now that it would be Hendrickson over Watt, right? I mean, does that make any sense?
Hendrickson over Watt at this point?
Well, in terms of leads the league in sacks.
Yeah.
Nobody's pounding the table for him to win it.
Well, I'm not saying that TJ should be a runaway winner this year, but I am saying there's a lot of games out here to prove himself, right? I mean, in that sense, Garrett was right that, you know, it's pretty wide open, I think. Do you?
Yeah, I think it is, because Dexter Lawrence, if the Giants were any good, I think would be getting a lot of recognition for 8 tackles for loss, 9 sacks.
Wouldn't it be ironic if TJ won this year because of analytics? Because his conventional number, like the sacks right now, are down. However, he's going up against their right tackle's healthy, but it's generally a banged-up line and a bad offense at this point, and I think he has a chance to. It's going to take, all it'll take, by the way, is one huge game to put himself back in contention anyway for the sack title. You know, he's 4 behind Trey Hendrickson right now. He's got 12 tackles for loss, which is among the tops in the league.
Yeah, it's second.
Second there. He has his usual passes defensed. A nice little interception would help his cause. Does he lead the league in forced fumbles at four?
Yes.
I believe he does. All right, so actually, other than what I always thought until last year was the most important stat, which is good old-fashioned sacks of the quarterback, other than that, he's got some nice stats working for him. Vegas has him as a favorite right now. Is that a heavy favorite?
Not too heavy. I'm going to pull up the odds, but he's pretty much the guy right now with Aiden Hutchinson hurt for the rest of the year, who is going to be the leader in the clubhouse and golden opportunities on big stages to continue to prove it.
According to Sportscasting, TJ Watt heavily favored to win the award, and this is dated 2 hours ago right now. It's TJ Watt at minus 200, and the next one is Dexter Lawrence at plus 1,000. That's a big difference, oh, limitless wonder. Did you know that?
No, FanDuel has him at minus 160, and Chris Jones is plus 111. So, yeah, that is a significant difference.
I didn't realize he was that heavily favored in a year where the sacks are down a little bit. That's interesting. Good. Well, maybe that is the grand irony here, is that when you look, and he does have some conventional stats, but when you look deeper into it, you realize he is the best player. Now, the MVP odds from just 5 hours ago. Josh Allen, a slight favorite over Lamar Jackson. Is that a two-horse race right now? Horse?
And Miles Garrett's 13th on Defensive Player of the Year rankings for anybody that might want to know. It definitely is. I think Josh Allen right now is the MVP of the league. It was good to see him take over in the odds. Because, you know, I also think that there might be voter fatigue, Joe, with Lamar Jackson. Do we want to give this guy another MVP award when Josh Allen has not won that before? You see that in the NBA all the time
when
LeBron dominates.
That's why they gave it to Garrett, though. That's what we're railing against.
I don't think the fatigue should be,
you're saying that might happen, but I don't think it should happen.
No, I think Allen has deserved it and earned
To this point, it's very close. There's a lot of football to be played. Lamar had a bad game. Lamar still has 25 touchdowns and 3 picks. He has 584 rushing yards and 2 TDs. Does he still lead the league in passer rating? I believe he does. He has a great case. He is one of the all-time, right now, still, Lamar has one of the all-time great cases for MVP based on how these numbers are going to pan out over the course of the year. But the guy in Buffalo is great, and he's working with less. Right?
Yeah, he's first in quarterback rating. He's second in QBR behind Joe Burrow. I'm talking about Lamar.
Yeah.
Lamar is second in QBR. His rating still the highest. Jared Goff is actually second.
He's third in MVP odds, by the way.
And when you look at Josh Allen for quarterback rating, don't know how much you look into that, Joe. He's 12th. 98.
I don't look into that too much.
I don't either. I mean,
when I mentioned Lamar's, people do look into it. I don't know. When I look at the all-time leaders in passer rating, I think it's a stat that's largely based on completion percentage, on the dink and dunk game, on the modern game. You know what I mean? And I just don't feel like that should be number one on my list. I look a lot at touchdowns compared to interceptions is a huge one for me. But all I need to know about passer rating limits when I look all time is that Kirk Cousins is ahead of Tom Brady. I think that kind of tells me all I need to know about that stat. That Jimmy Garoppolo is ahead of Steve Young and Peyton Manning. It's a modern day type of stat that's based, I think, on cumulative numbers and the dink and dunk game. I mean, right? All you need to know is that Tua is ahead of Tom Brady all time. That's pretty much. Deshaun Watson is ahead of Tom Brady. Whew. That's kind of all you need to know, correct?
Well, Jared Goff has had multiple passing performances where he's had a perfect rating this year,
yeah.
But they're also posting 50 points a game against teams. So that might be the one outlier, but I agree with your entire point that, I mean, it's not, there are some stats that you don't have to look at and fully analyze as the end all be all, and that's
one of them. Here you go. And I want this heard loud and clear. And believe me, I'm guilty of using it from time to time. I am. It does reflect some things. But, you know, when somebody has an all-time great game, I'm not sure the passer rating is what I need to confirm that. Like, I just saw it with my eyes. Again, I think touchdowns compared to picks is a big one. But all you need to know out there, the next time somebody says passer rating is the be-all, end-all, is that Derek Carr is ahead of Joe Montana in career passer rating. End of story, end of segment. You're a very nice man, Limits.
You're even nicer.
I know. Mark Cabali coming up next. I've lost my reads, which I apologize for. I have no idea where they went. And we're going to talk to Cabali about all things. Let's play him the pony take, shall we? Can we do that? Would that be exciting for everyone? Not that take. Not that take. The other take. The take on how the Steelers get a pass if they lose to the Browns. A pony pass. Which was just incredible.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.